sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And we're all going to die, hopefully, and we never have to watch this movie again. And these people don't have to be subjected to watching this movie all day. And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we're reviewing I Can't Whistle.
Whistle.
As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, we'll give our first thoughts, and then we're going to do a deep spoiler analysis. But John, make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice.
You bet I will. I know, whistle about it.
Whistle was garbage.
Whistle, a.k.a. Nick Frost is payday. Just kidding.
I mean, yeah, he hasn't made any more...
Underutilized in every aspect of this film.
Is it strange they haven't made any more movies? That little group? I forget.
Oh, the...
Edgar Wright?
I think they did the trilogy and they were kind of done with it.
They were just done
right?
with each other. Yeah.
Well, it's like Simon Pegg went on to do the Mission Impossible movies and like he's like set. So he just keeps
whatever.
Going all around the world doing that shit. Yeah.
It's just whatever Tom Cruise wants to do. Sure. Yeah. Just be your buddy.
Like whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Nick Frost is over there getting more tattoos. That's it.
I can't figure out what Edgar Wright's doing.
I think he left the business shortly after. He made one more good Baby movie. Driver? What was it, Paul? No, that wasn't him, right? That was
Baby Driver. No, yeah. He should have. He should have stayed in director jail for that movie. Was not a fan of it. though I did like his other movie. I don't know if you ever got around to watching
Last Night in Soho.
Yeah, did you ever get around to watching it?
The one with not Daphne King. What's her name?
Daphne King. Who the fuck is it?
No.
Oh, Daphne Keen?
Not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not Daphne Keen.
No.
What's her name? Anya Taylor-Joy.
Anya Taylor-Joy, yeah. Did you ever get around to watching it?
Yeah. I started and then I didn't finish it.
Ah, so you loved it. I thought it was really good. I thought it was actually quite good. Better than I thought. It's, I don't know. Oh, he did Running Man, right? Which was okay.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. We remember I told you, like, check it out. It's way better than you think it's going to be. Surprisingly better.
It's, like, too serious. It's, like, takes itself too serious for such a, you know, like, premise, like a fun premise. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, at the end, it took itself way too seriously. Like,
and I'm wondering if that's the... Because what that version of the movie is much more faithful to... Yeah. King Bachman.
Yeah, much more faithful to the book than whatever Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who directed it? Verhoeven? No, it's not Verhoeven. It's
no.
John McTiernan? No.
I don't remember. But before we get into Whistle, was the guy
what are we talking about?
The guy that plays the... man, I don't want to get this wrong. Is it him? The guy from Wednesday, right?
Yes, is the bully.
He's not the one that got canceled, right?
Yes, he got canceled.
He's the same guy that... Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Does not help the case for this movie, by the way. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah. Alrighty, that's our review of Whistle.
It stinks.
Yeah, right. That's our review.
We can
of
move
Whistle.
On.
Alrighty, John, do you want to give us the plot of 5 words for Whistle?
Johnny,
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
If you wanted us to give you an in-depth review of this movie, the movie itself has to have depth first. So.
Yeah. That's more than 5 words.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, if this movie doesn't want to follow its own rules, I'm not going to follow mine. Coming in at number 3 for Whistle, movie's catalyst foreshadows movie's rating.
Yes.
Whistle's blow. Coming in at number 2 for Whistle, Scary Movie, the Timu edition. And coming in at number 1 for Whistle, Final Destination, the Timu edition.
Interesting. Okay. Do you want to just kick us off on how much you dislike this movie, or should I?
It's just terrible. Something that I think was trying really hard to be reminiscent of like late 90s, early 2000s horror movies, and it just missed the mark on several occasions. It's like ripping Final Destination. It's kind of ripping a little bit of like Urban Legends. It's like
I think you had mentioned early on before I watched it, The Faculty. I'll say it's definitely...
Oh, The Faculty, yeah. It's just not good. And it's like forcing... There's supposed to be relationships in this movie, and I was like, why? What's the point? I don't even know who these people are. I still don't know who these people are, and the movie's over.
Yeah. I'll probably echo the same sentiment. I thought...
It's like this movie's progressive because now it's a black character that's going to be the senseless bully jock.
He was, right? But wasn't, right? There's like no clear motivation. See, no. I feel like
he's just a jerk, I guess.
I don't know. Let's talk about a better movie, Faculty. I just like how they start with the cliches, right? Like the outcast, the jock, the pretty girl, the misfit or whatever, you know,
the nerd, I guess.
Yeah. And then they kind of like invert that, right? So the nerd becomes the hero, the jock becomes the bad guy, you know, the alternative girl becomes, you know, they kind of play, they kind of like play with stereotypes.
And then Sophie Newsom's also.
And then Sophie Newsom's on this movie. But this movie, I couldn't.
Our gay character that goes to school full time as a high school student and also is a registered nurse somehow.
I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like, I guess that's convenient to the plot. That's her being a nurse is set up early because it's important to the end of this movie.
Oh, the end of the movie? Are you talking about Flatliners? Yes,
yeah. So.
Oh, wait. That's right. We're still watching Whistle. It's like, why don't we mimic another movie that was also pretty bad?
I really like Daphne Keene. I think she has, like, I don't know.
Well, here's what I'm going to say real quick, because all these characters had no depth. They were all one-dimensional. They were all pretty terrible.
Right.
I am not going to fault anybody's acting because I think they were told to do these things. I was like, they're trying their best.
I low-key saw Daphne Keene in this, and in this she has like a certain like shorter haircut or something, right? She kind of reminded me of like a young Neve Campbell. That's where I was with the Scream movies.
You know who she reminded me of? And this is not a slight in any respect, hopefully.
Don't say it.
What's his name from Mars Attacks? I can't think of any other movie he was in. Like the main guy that kind of survives the entire thing. Jack Black's younger brother.
Oh, no. I don't remember that movie very vividly at all.
It'd be weird if they were related. I don't think they would be related.
I doubt it.
Lucas Haas.
Oh, yeah. Lucas Haas. I gotcha. Yes. I know what you're talking about. Exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
I just feel like Daphne Keene really like her look and like really set the tone for this movie, which they're trying to, like we've mentioned, be a early 2099 horror, teen horror movie.
Yeah. What was this movie called again? Freaks and Geeks?
Yeah, I guess. And it like that, I think is... That worked for me. Daphne Keene's look worked for me for this movie, and that was about the extent of it. Nothing else worked in this movie at all for me either. I kind of feel like Sophie Neese, who we know from Yellow Jacket's character, is so paper thin. It's like ridiculously like...
To distract from that idea real quick, how hard was it for you to get past her real eye color in the movie? It took me like half the movie to be like, I accept it now.
Yeah, like, yeah, I did notice that it was like she has colored eyes, right? Naturally
they're blue, like piercing blue. Yeah. And she wore brown contacts to match
Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah.
And she just has like, she's supposed to be I don't think it's not a spoiler or not. She's supposed to be the love interest. It's set up pretty quick that Daphne Keene is like gay and that she has eyes for the character Ellie, played by Sophie here.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing original to say here. She just...
No. Were you also like, why is she even hanging out with these people? Like, it doesn't seem like she's hanging... They have nothing in common. She doesn't talk to any of them.
I just feel that's a...
Why is she here?
I just feel it's a total slight on like the gay community because it's like you have nothing to say. Like, why even make her gay? It doesn't matter if she's a guy or a girl or whatever. It doesn't matter this because it's such a like, she's like the perfect like, oh no, are you okay? Oh, we got to do this. Like, she just suddenly becomes like just a very...
A mom almost.
Yeah, she's just there for the plot. Yeah. Like, she has no character. They try to, like you said, they try to set her up as like, oh, she's a nurse or some shit. And like, but she's just like, I don't know. It's just like follows every cliche of teen horror movies, love interest for the main character. There's just no substance whatsoever here.
My other favorite thing is like, they talk about having parents, right? There's guardians or something in this movie.
Sure. I imagine.
I don't think I saw a single like adult that was in charge of anyone. You see like the popular girl's younger brother, and that's about the extent of any family I saw in the movie.
Well, yeah. What's interesting is that like they tried to set up those two characters, that couple, what was it, Grace and Dean? They tried to set those two characters up as like, oh, well, they're like popular and they're going to be mean to, you know, Daphne Keene's character and her cousin or whatever. But they end up just all being in the same group. And it's like, that's not,
which didn't make any sense.
How any of this works. Like,
It's like the jock dude has like one other friend, it seems like, that is not a part of the group.
Yeah.
And then nobody has any friends just outside of each other.
Random like, what? Hosh-posh of like, there's like, usually these movies are like, whoa, out of circumstance, they have to work together. Or like out of like necessity, they have to like, because something happens, a catalyst happens, that they, oh, there's...
I.e. the faculty, right? They're like, oh, we're forced to work.
Actually like socialize with each other. But like this, they were like literally all friends two or three scenes into this movie. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, they go to, I forgot the popular girl's character.
Is that like a Gen Z thing where they don't want labels?
Grace.
And shit? Where like there's no more jocks and weirdos.
But it's like great, like what, a couple of scenes into the movie, they're all hanging out after the nerdy guy, Daphne Keene's cousin or whatever, takes back the whistle from being confiscated. And they're all, hanging out at Grace's hot tub. And I was like, why are they all hanging out together? I don't understand.
And this is not a spoiler. I don't think this is a spoiler. When she blows the whistle, I thought, I thought it worked. The whole thing worked because I thought whoever blew the whistle is the one that is going to be haunted by their death. Like basically they're it's like a death whistle, right? So basically however, like death is coming for you. This is how I interpreted it, right? Before I saw the movie. Two things, right? So it's not that they, you know, summon death by blowing the whistle. It's just that they experienced the death they were already going to have. So like your death is fast forward because Nick Frost blew the whistle, and then he's
the first one to blow the whistle. The
opening scene or whatever. With
so the first person we've seen blow the whistle,
right? That
is Nick Frost.
And he dies the way he was gonna die when he was old. So
because he was a secret smoker, and
he died of So after he dies in the whatever, there's like this very pedestrian scene where he dies, horror scene where he's being haunted by this thing and he dies. The coroners or whatever, they say he died. Did you know he had like lung cancer? And it's just like, oh, because
it's like,
what?
Oh, he had stage 4 lung cancer. We didn't even notice that he lost a shit ton of weight the day before.
Yeah, because like he's like smoking in one scene, right? So it's like, and I hope I'm explaining this correctly, because it's like basically like if you were going to be hit by a car, John, then like, then you would. If you would die, but then you would have the death would be reminiscent of you being hit by a car, like blunt damage to the head or whatever. You know what I mean? However you would die by it.
Which one of the characters dies, right? Because you would have died in a car accident,
absolutely, I guess. Maddening. I don't know why they chose to do this premise. This is crazy. So you're going to have like everybody that dies is going to have all these different deaths, but none of it makes sense.
Everybody just keeps dismissing. So the cold open is like... this guy who has the whistle and obviously had blown it at some point. We didn't see that. And the way he's going to die was he was going to burn up somehow. Yeah. So he's being haunted by a version of himself, which we don't realize is a version of himself till later. Right. Cause I was like, what are the rules here? Cause I thought another burning guy was going to kill somebody else.
Yeah.
He's taking a shower by himself for reasons and gets attacked by the burning guy and he gets set ablaze and people were like, yeah, it was a pretty horrific accident, you know, pretty normal. The shower head blew up and set him on fire. So
anyways, just gotta just quickly move on from that. Don't use his locker. Basically.
Yeah, don't use his locker.
It's pretty much where it is.
Because he died that classic, you know, it could happen to you. Just shower blows up and you blow up and burn up.
I had just...
even though you're covered in water.
Exactly, yeah. I heard about this short film. Maybe you've heard or seen it, John, where it's
Jethica.
No, it's like it's like this birthday party for this girl and she sees like this like person or whatever, this in a mask or something far away, and then her family tells her that, oh, we all decided to because they wanted to be rich and famous, they took on this curse that as long as you ignore it and don't look at it, it won't get any closer to you. And so like she keeps looking, and the closer it gets to it, it's when they're eventually that whatever's gets closer will kill you. I don't know if I'm explaining that like correctly, but basically like kind of like it gets closer to you and then it eventually like kills you. I thought that was like the premise of Whistle. I was like, oh, okay, that'd be cool. But then it just diverts into like this weird like you die, you basically fast forward your death. So like I don't understand why anybody's motivated to fucking blow the whistle then. Like what do they get out of this? Like they get nothing out of it.
But curiosity. Like, I think it gets better too, right? Because they take it to Nick Frost, and Nick Frost is like or they all get detention?
They all got detention, yes. For I don't remember why.
And,
yes.
And Nick Frost sees the whistle, and I think like he's scheming in the back of his head, he's thinking, oh, I could sell this whistle because it's like an ancient artifact. And he's like, as far as I can tell, I think I could be wrong about this, but I think he said Mayan. I was like, it's an Aztec whistle, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty clearly historically accurate as an Aztec whistle.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, so that's where it's from, but I don't know too much more about it. And they're like, oh, interesting. And then the rest of the movie, they're like, we need to figure out what this is. So let's go talk to this old white lady. She probably has all the answers about this Mexican whistle. Right.
Yeah. And like, okay. But it gets even better before that, because the popular girl or whatever,
it's folk horror,
blows the whistle. And I thought you blew the whistle. Whoever blows the whistle summons their own death.
Yeah.
But no, apparently if you hear the whistle, it also summons your own death, which is like, what? Like, what? What is this even? Like, what are the consequences of this? You know, like, why is anybody touching this thing? What is the curiosity of it? Like, is it haunted? Is it like trying to get blown? Well,
it does before they're going to blow certain people are going to blow the whistle. They hear the whistle, like, whisper their name. They're about to blow the whistle each time, and then somebody distracts them every time.
Stupidest thing ever. I can't imagine logic. There's no logic behind any of this.
No. And it gets even better because she blows the whistle, and then everybody's like, no, do you hear that? The bully guy, the quarterback dude or whatever, he's like, and then he farts so badly that a bubble's in the pool.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend is just like, oh, you're so silly, just like sticking with him. I was like,
yeah.
So far, everything I've learned about this guy is he's just a shitty dude.
I mean, it's and then basically they each either die or experience some sort of form of death until they figure out how to like fight back. Dun, 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 from some random lady, right? Like, I don't even know how she got into the picture. I'll be honest, I don't remember how. This
and then it
old
starts
lady
to come into like, oh, her like kid and grandson or some bullshit, they died because of the whistle.
Yeah, it's like,
how do you know that? Like, how do you know that they died from a fucking whistle? That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. Like, is it death? I thought death was stalking them, but it's not death. Is it a curse?
It's Mexicans.
This
is an anti-immigrant movie. That's what it is, actually. It's
like, did they drink the water? I don't understand. It just like doesn't make any sense, this movie, at any turn.
And I hated that I think this is the most boring, lazy writing idea was, I know this is probably spoilers, but the Grace character, the popular girl, dies from old age. And it's like,
oh no, I'm terrified. I'm old.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Like, what is this?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
And I kind of watched like a breakdown of the movie again, because I was like, something didn't make sense to me. I still don't understand Sophie Neeson. Is that how you say your last name? We've had this problem before, right? I'm going to say Nilisi.
Sure.
I still don't understand what her death was supposed to be. She works herself to death. I don't understand.
I think it's kind of sad. One of them like dies in the factory. He doesn't have a life. he just dies in the factory when he gets older, which is like so sad. Dude.
Okay.
Did you ever see that movie Good Fortune with
Keanu Reeves and
Aziz Ansari?
Yeah, I did. I told you to watch it. Remember? I was like, you should.
Oh,
watch
you did?
Yeah. Oh. I was like, you should watch it. And you're like, nah, fuck that. I hate angels. I'm like, I get it. But City of Angels, and you're like, oh, that's a good point. So you watched it.
Yeah. Well, I can't say no to Meg Ryan.
It was like The Prophecy, The Prophecy 2, The Prophecy 3.
Well, Viggo Mortensen's in one of those movies, that's for sure.
The first one, yeah, he plays the devil.
But, okay, cool. So, I love that scene. I'm going to spoilers for good Good Fortune. Talking about it better. I like that how Keanu Reeves shows him his life. And it's just really like sad, boring, sad life. But when that dog dies, he moves, he gets slightly better job somewhere else. He's like, that's what you got to look forward to.
He's like, you don't want this? He's like, no, I don't.
That's how I felt like that guy, that one guy's death was like. He's like, oh, he dies at the factory in an accident. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That really sucks.
Which reminds me of that movie. Was it called The Mangler, right? Yeah. Where if you got killed by the machine, it was possessed.
There's just something really sad about like growing old and having your dreams.
Like,
and
that's just
you're just really sad, very kind of boring life and death. I don't know why that's cinematic. Why is that in this movie?
So I very quickly started to dislike this movie as I was watching it, and I started getting more upset by the music choices too. I'm like,
This person
like watched Yellow Jackets and thought that was a good idea, and it's pissing me off.
No, this is clearly a 40-year-old man's playlist.
Yeah. I was gonna say 40 to 50, right? Because he's even like Concrete Blonde and shit. Yeah.
This is Gen X's playlist.
Exactly. And then on top of that, using like, oh, all these names are nuds to famous horror directors. I'm like, don't do that, dude.
Please don't do that. I hate when they do that. But he did it. So. Yeah. I don't like that. I just like how like, oh, my dad loved this music, so I love it. I was like, that's not how anything works.
No, it was a fucking, so like your introduction to her, she's in the car getting dropped off to her like her cousin's house, right? And she's got really nothing except for her tote bag full of records, and it's like, oh, cool girl. Sure hope you have a record set up in this new place that you're moving to.
I know. She's gonna have all of those like CDs or albums, and then she's gonna put up her Evil Dead poster and the Thing poster.
Yeah,
this is clearly a 50-year-old man wrote this, because these are the only things. These are all the things 50-year-old men like. So it's just like, come on, man, what are we doing here? I think that's I don't know what else. Where else to go with that? But is there spoilers?
If we go into super spoilers, they figure out if you flatliners yourself.
Yes.
You can protect yourself from this Final Destination thing.
Okay, let's do a quick spoilers on what we're talking about.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
Oh, and then the kid that we were kind of talking about, the one that was like the youth pastor who's the main drug dealer of the town.
That's
and
like,
homicidal, honestly, or whatever. Like,
I had no problem with him because he was completely ridiculous. He's just a ridiculous character. Like, there's no sense to how that character would function as a person in real life or like in this movie. So that was the least of my concerns with this guy.
But it didn't make sense that the whole movie he's like tough or whatever, and he keeps pulling knives on people, and it's like he gets his ass kicked repeatedly, and then he's just like, oh, I'm gonna kill you. I'm like, okay, why aren't these people just finishing him off? Is it because they're gonna use him at the end to go crazy? Well, like, somebody feeds him a bunch of his own drugs. Oh, the God, what was the character's name? He was supposed to be kind of like the nerdy guy, the cousin.
Right, yeah. The
Rail, I guess is his name.
Yeah. Sky Yang.
Just was like, oh, like, you had the way you killed that kid because it was your drugs, and he starts forcing him to eat drugs, and then he becomes free and decides to try to kill everybody around him. I'm like, all right.
Well, I mean, Owen Edgerton rented It Follows and came up with the idea that you can transfer your death to somebody else if you die. Yeah? See how it's different?
Which also, not to be confused with the idea of in Final Destination.
Right.
The fourth
one. We're like way later on.
But they figure out you can transfer your death. Whatever.
So you're saying, but I like that movie. That was a good movie. That was the one. That was the prequel, the unofficial prequel, where they say where the guy.
Oh, the with what's her name, right? Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
No, it's the prequel to the first movie. We don't know it's a prequel until the plane crashes and kills them in the restaurant.
Why do I always get that one confused with? I thought Mary Elizabeth Winstead was in that one.
That's the carnival. one, isn't it? Is it the third one?
Yeah. No, you're right. The carnival one. Because I do remember the end with the plane ticket.
The fourth one is the Final Destination, I think. And then the fifth one is Final Destination. Wait, is there
yeah, so hopefully...
With Bloodlines?
Yes. You remember because there was the Final Destination. And like, this is the definitive end to the series. And then they made one more.
That's right. Yeah.
And then they stopped making them for like a decade. They
called it Bloodlines with like a subtitle in it or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So hopefully we get the whistle that will explain everything.
And I'll be all whistle. I don't know.
It'd be funny if it's a prequel and it's like ancient beginning of Aztec civilization. And
they
blow the whistle and then one guy dies in a car accident anyway and it doesn't make sense.
I mean, even though this is super problematic, I low-key would have just wished they would have just done like some zombie Aztec warrior person killing these kids. Yeah, I feel like that would have been way better than what we got. I mean, I know that's probably like insensitive or whatever to our culture and stuff. But
way more interesting than this. I don't think I can stress enough how bad I thought this movie was.
Yeah. So part of the plot here is that she kills herself. If she experiences death, then she won't have to go through the death that was already planned for her that she doesn't
which
know
was
about.
Pretty interesting because so far in the movie they've established if your form whatever your death is touches you, you start to die,
right?
And she definitely gets touched several times by her OD'd version of herself,
right? Yeah,
but
I would think it would have been also cool if they would have done like it's she has like a mohawk and then her hands become vials and she's just like chasing like a new war or was it warrior Freddy was it Nightmare on Elm Street?
Oh, the warriors, yeah.
Dream yeah. Warriors. Where she dies Freddy
or she comes back and she like two adamantium claws pop out of her fist and she just
I would have accepted that too if they became Dream Warriors. Everybody should just do Dream Warriors. That's such a great movie. But yeah, I don't know. So basically that's the third act or whatever for Sophie whatever to like be a doctor because she's the one that's watching Daphne Keene's character die and they're gonna bring her back and stuff. So.
Which like by no means if she's still in high school would she be able to know how to do any of that shit?
Of course but anyway. Not. And then another guy. So they do this thing where like if you touch the blood of something, then you inherit the. Something right
sure yeah
that's how they kill all the rules. The guy we were mentioning that goes like the drug dealer religious guy he touches the blood of something and he dies so that's like the big sequence at the end didn't really make a lot of sense I was mostly checked out
so with all that said because I don't know this was terrible there is a t-shirt now out that says it's a Nightmare on Elm Street 2 and it says on the bottom the gay one if you want to buy the Skeleton Boys that t-shirt message us
well, who's selling it
I don't know. I just saw it like on an Instagram ad. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. But I clicked out before I got to look at it. If you want to buy us that shirt.
Too.
So we can, a little palate cleanse of this movie.
The gay one. That's funny. Oh, Hot Topic sells. Oh, no, that's true. Dream Warrior. The gay one. I don't think they have many shirts of it. Let's take time out of our show to look at t-shirts, guys. You're welcome. Anyways.
It might have been like somebody that I follow that makes shirts.
Fair.
Oh, there is one that says Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, and it's the scratch marks from the claw.
Oh.
But it's a rainbow appearing in the back, and it says he comes out. Like, that's awesome.
I don't think it was gay enough. There, I said it. That was the biggest problem I had with Freddy's Revenge. Not gay enough.
You know, and what was it? It was just, I mean, nothing. And I think it's rightfully so. It's just the actor didn't want people to know he was gay. did you know about that?
Yes.
He tried to hide it
for a while.
And that Robert Englund wanted to make it even more homoerotic. He's like, we should really lean into this. And he's like, no.
Yeah, well, the writer was being
stop
subtle.
Stop trying to fuck me, Robert Englund.
He was kidding. Trying to be. He was like, it's funny because the writer is like, he's like, he was gay, and he was like, well, I was trying to be really subtle about it. And yeah, that whole sequence with the coach and the pipes and the steaming and the spanking, and I'm just like, oh my god, this whole thing is just gay coded so bad. Alrighty. Do you have any thoughts about Whistle, or you want to just talk about Freddy more, or what do you want to talk about?
I think we should end this now.
Okay, that's fair. All righty, John. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give Whistle?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give? don't do that. Just rate the movie.
12 out of 10 sexy. I'm going to give Whistle 2 sexy spooky bones.
Okay, yeah, I'm right there with you. I'll give it a 2. It's fine. Perfect adequate.
I'm going to give it a 1 because it's not the actor's fault. They did okay. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like it was shot terribly. It was fine. It's just everything else about the movie was awful.
Yeah, I would say from inception, like scripts and stuff, it was very well. It was kind of dumb.
Not a good movie. Plot.
Alrighty. Alright, guys, gals.
Should call it Tax Write-Off instead of Whistle.
I'm surprised it got a release. I'm still waiting for the Batgirl movie that they never released. Yeah. Alright, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Bye.